Welcome back to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. A lot has changed in American civic life in the last 4 years. Among those changes has been the relationship between the public and the news media, fueled in no small part by the nation's most prominent press critic. President Trump has called the news media the enemy of the people. We were hoping to have a clip there. But anyway, President Trump's comments have a receptive audience among his supporters. Pew Report last year looked at whether people have confidence that journalists will act in the best interests of the public. Democrats were far more likely than Republicans to say yes by a gap of 46 percentage points. As President Trump's time in the White House ends and a new administration comes in, one expected to have a more traditional relationship with reporters, how can journalists regain public trust? To answer this question and more, we're joined by Nikki Usher. She's an associate professor of journalism at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign and focuses on topics such as the role social media plays in the broader news media and the future of journalism. Hello, Nikki. Welcome to the 21st.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being here. We've got 16 minutes to figure out the future of journalism. We're also joined by Kelsey Landis. She's a political reporter for the Belleville News Democrat. Hello, Kelsey. Welcome back.
Hey, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. Listeners, we want to invite you to join the conversation. Our lines are open at 800-222-9455. We want to know what questions you have about reporting and how journalists do their jobs. Join the conversation by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. So, Nikki, I'd like to start with you. Can you talk about the public's relationship with the media in the BT times before Trump and how that's changed throughout his candidacy and presidency?
So I know that this is probably not the narrative that you want to hear, but the reality is that trust in the news media has been pretty low for a while. What we see is a growing what we call asymmetric polarization because it's so much more distrusted by Republicans versus Democrats. About 75% of Republicans distrust the news media, and that figures around, depending on which polling service you use, about 33 to 50% of Democrats. But it's really important to remember that the conservative movement has been trying to undermine trust in the news media among both liberals and conservatives and ordinary members of the American public since the Nixon administration as a deliberate strategy. So I think that's really important to also just sort of set as the baseline.
Yeah, no, and I think those of us who've been in the field, well, not since the Nixon administration, but, you know, we've certainly felt that lack of trust even before the president. But he has certainly found a way to sort of crystallize it and has taken it, you know, sort of taken advantage of it, I think. I wonder, do you see a difference in public trust in the media in different generations? I mean, are there certain generations that are more likely to trust the media than others?
I think that the bigger difference is more what media younger people are using versus older people. We know that it takes a while for younger people to begin to consume news and information that you and I would define as quality news and information. A number of my freshmen have just reported to me that they are starting to pay attention to the news, which is adorable, right? Because it's their first time voting. And I think that's really indicative. What we do know is actually older Americans are the ones more likely to spread misinformation, which I find really fascinating. But I think, you know, as far as trust in the news media, I think that it really is more correlated to partisanship than anything else.
And is there a historical precedent? I mean, you mentioned since the Nixon administration, but I mean, have there been other times in history where you have the relationship between news consumers and news outlets get as strained as it's become in the present day?
Well, I think one thing that's really different about now is that it's very easy to see that distrust in ways that we couldn't observe before. So right now, people who don't trust the news media can go on Twitter or on Facebook or on email or text or whatever it might be to express that distrust, where there wasn't the same kind of mass, many to many communication to do that historically. But the story of trust in the media has to do with changes in the media itself. I mean, if you remember in, or if we don't remember, I don't remember, but in the four, you know, in the 30s and 40s, there actually wasn't a particularly adversarial news media. I mean, you're talking about a Washington Press Corps that agreed with FDR not to show him in a wheelchair, right? I mean, that's pretty remarkable. And so what you start to see is in the 70s, when we actually started asking the question for the first time in Gallup about trust in the news media, around Watergate and the height of adversarial journalism, trust in the news media as sort of a check against power. And that's steadily declined over time. And there are lots of reasons for that. But I think you also have to take into account the shifting nature of the press's relationship with authority and with the presidency itself and with politics more generally.
Yeah. Okay, Kelsey Landis, I want to bring you into the conversation now. You report for the Belleville News Democrat. This is a region where, while Vice President Biden, President-elect Biden, I guess I should call him now, won St. Clair County by 9 points. President Trump won some of the surrounding counties by as much as 57 points. And I wonder, from your perspective, what does the news gathering and reporting process look like for you at that outlet in that region? I mean, and maybe you can just talk about, in sort of a general way, how you choose which voices to include in your stories, how much weight you give them, that sort of thing.
Sure. Well, like you said, we cover an area that is liberal and conservative, Republican, Democrat at the same time. So we really do have to strike that fine balance. But in the time of COVID, what we've found is that, and Nikki alluded to this a little bit, is that we have these networks that are becoming increasingly concentrated and closed off. And so those conversations, and also it applies to opinions, but also misinformation, are spreading sort of rapidly within these concentrated groups in our readership area. So our main focus really is to listen to what the more conservative voters and readers in our area are saying. And it's always been sort of the Chicago versus Southern Illinois concept that has influenced Southern Illinois coverage for decades, you know. So, but I think that sometimes readers are surprised. I interviewed one Republican voter not too long ago who was surprised to hear from a reporter, and you know, later told me that she trusted at least one member of the media again. And so really it's slowly but surely telling those stories by listening to what people are talking about, even if it is counter zeitgeist or it doesn't quite meet the expectations of what people are hearing and seeing from their government or their elected officials. Sometimes, and obviously that makes us not so popular, and other times it does make us popular. So really we try to find that balance of telling the stories, even if it contradicts something that we've thought or reported before. We've been wrong a lot. I mean, we know that the media, the press, got a lot of things wrong, and there's still a lot that we don't understand about this age of new media and how people communicate. And so I think we have to remember to let ourselves be wrong, be surprised. And that's what we've really focused on in 2020, I think, especially as far as political public health reporting goes.
Sure. I like the idea that you're rebuilding trust with people one at a time, and a few hundred million more to go, and we will have restored some balance. I'd like to play a clip for you. This is PBS NewsHour journalist Stephanie Tsai was in Phoenix last week giving an update on ballot counting when she was harassed by someone who was with a group of Trump supporters. Let's take a listen to that.
The remaining ballots in Arizona are in other counties in Arizona, and they are more conservative, and obviously they're taking advantage of the fact that I'm going live, but I'll try to continue. I want to move to, can you help me out so that I can just finish this report, please? Thank you. No, you're good. Okay, so in neighboring Nevada, Judy, there's actually a very...
Okay, in case that was hard to hear, there's a man who walked up next to the reporter and started yelling, "I'm not wearing a mask, I'm not wearing a mask, she's going to die now." I wonder, Kelsey, have you ever experienced harassment like this or in any other form while reporting?
I've been lucky, no. We've seen situations like in 2018 when President Trump visited Granite City in our area. He visited the U.S. steel mill there, and we were tasked with covering his visit. And part of that was covering the supporters who were there to welcome him. And then on another part of Granite City, there were protesters to express their opinions about him. And we did talk to a lot of the supporters who had gathered on the streets to welcome him. And I think the main challenge that we found was in convincing people of the basic facts, you know, and educate when we were asking about their opinion about certain things, saying, okay, well, that's not exactly true. Here's what's true. And so you really just have to know your stuff. But luckily we haven't been harassed. And I think in Southern Illinois, people are mostly willing to answer your questions. That said, I'm a white female reporter, so it's probably easier for me. But that hurts, you know, because it could happen to us. What happened to that reporter could happen to anybody.
Listeners, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We've been speaking with Kelsey Landis, a reporter at the Belleville News Democrat, as well as Nikki Usher, who's associate professor of journalism at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. Nikki, you mentioned briefly earlier about social media platforms, Twitter and Facebook, making it easier for people to register their displeasure with reporters or the media, quote unquote, more broadly. I wonder if you can talk about other ways that Twitter and Facebook have affected the relationship between the public and the press.
Well, obviously, I think there's a real moral panic and one that's justly deserved around the spread of misinformation on these platforms. We live in what political communication scholars like to call a high choice media environment. And what that means is for people who want to tune out from news and information, there's so much content, so much capacity to do that. But for the people who want to pay attention, there is increasingly highly targeted, extraordinarily niche content that speaks to their high political engagement. And unfortunately, some of that content is not actually based in any kind of fact or reality. But these social media platforms are optimized, especially Facebook, for engagement, not truthfulness. And so if you look at the top 10 lists of most shared articles on Facebook that are available by CrowdTangle, one of Facebook's own platforms for checking these analytics, you'll find that most of them are extremely partisan misinformation peddling sites. And that, to me, is really worth questioning what role these platforms have in helping people engage in their own sort of further polarization and distrust of each other.
And perhaps without even realizing that that's what's happening.
I think that, you know, sadly, this idea that misinformation is something that's duping people, this is information that's consciously being processed and shared among like-minded partisans. So social science sadly doesn't back up this idea of, you know, you see misinformation and you suddenly believe it. That's just not how we process news and information. It's part and parcel of our pre-existing values and choices that are already built in. I think that it's really actually important for journalists and people who care about the future of the news media to really understand that it's not so much about information, it's about identity and pre-existing beliefs.
What actionable in the few minutes we have remaining here for this conversation? I mean, what does a journalist do then? When identity is what is activating people, not facts. I mean, journalists are used to trading in facts.
I have been having these conversations, especially with my master's students, some of whom are actually wonderful interns on the 21st. But where I think that in the end, mainstream news media really needs to change its approach to lacking to neutrality. And to guide people to the truth, there needs to be a moral valence. There needs, and I think that you're starting to see that as major news organizations outright call Trump's disavowal of the election a lie. And information cannot just be presented neutrally and assumed to have some sort of rhetorical effect or persuasive effect. And I think that mainstream news journalists are just going to have to come around to the fact that they've got to act as a moral force in addition to an information force.
Interesting. Kelsey, are you, I wonder what your response is to that. Do you feel yourself being pulled to be a, you know, having some sort of moral valence in your reporting as opposed to, you know, just the facts?
Yeah. I mean, I think we always have a moral responsibility in our reporting. And I think it can be told factually and morally at the same time. I mean, when we talk about COVID deaths, there are countless conspiracy theorists in Illinois who believe that the Illinois Department of Public Health is messing with the data or inflating it falsely. That's wrong. You know, there are certain things that are wrong and that need to be called wrong. And that might be shifting. I mean, as Nikki said, as things become more, you know, shifted towards identity versus fact, the role of a journalist may transform into having to call things wrong that we normally wouldn't, you know? So I think that's definitely evolving.
Yeah. Well, it is a story that we are going to continue to live here at the 21st and certainly follow as well. I want to thank Kelsey Landis. She's a political reporter at the Belleville News Democrat, and Associate Professor Nikki Usher from journalism at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Thank you so much for being with us today on the 21st.
Thank you for having us.
Listeners, more to come after a short break. We're going to be talking with about for Veterans Day. We're going to be talking with some veterans and activists at the University of Illinois who are working to meet some of the challenges facing our nation's veterans. That's coming up after a short break here on the 21st. Stay with us.